Hello and welcome to Strungecast episode 88.
Living with lodgers.
Yes, an interesting one I thought, because we did three on me and now it's time for one about you.
Yeah.
Which you'll find out more about later. But before that, of course, how was your week?
My week has been good, I think. I mentioned last week that I was going to ABBA Voyage.
Yes, of course.
Which I did with my sister and it was amazing. If you don't know what it is, it's like a concert with the members of ABBA, but obviously they are quite a lot older than when they were together as a band. So it's like holograms, basically, but it's so realistic. You would never know. It's so clever how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a whole new world of being able to see concerts and things of, you know, perhaps deceased people. But yeah, it was really, really fun. So we saw that. And I think that's the only exciting thing I've done.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else.
It was quite quiet, wasn't it, really, other than that?
Yeah, I think that's been it. We're still very much in the thick of supporting Jake through his exams.
Yeah.
Which he is doing incredible. Like, just the amount of work
and revision
and stuff. It's just crazy, isn't it? He's put so much into it. But he's doing good. They've got half term next week. So at least he gets a little bit of downtime as well. But I can't think.
It's my birthday week.
It is next week, yeah. Your birthday, the end of the week.
That's post-podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a week
Another
tomorrow.
Episode. It's not quite your birthday episode yet.
No.
Get there soon. But that's why don't you tell us about your week?
So after recording the episode for last week, I went to the piano shop again with LJ and had a nice evening. Quite a quick evening this time. It was sort of like a go there, record some things, leave again. But it was nice. Last time we spent more hours there. But the guy who was there, he's the son of the proprietor. And he had to catch a train at like 9 o'clock or something. So we basically played from 6 to 9 or 5 to 9 or whatever it was. 5 to 8:30 really. So he could, you know, go get his train. But what we did is set up two pianos back to back, and then we played some stuff together. And it was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the videos are really cool.
I would go back and play for them anytime. Just be able to test all these different pianos. Oh, so enjoyable. I don't really get to play pianos.
Like you in your element, isn't it?
Me and my element, yeah. I don't get to play pianos other than my own, which is perfectly feasible and a great piano. But it's nice to play other things to see what they feel like and play like and all that.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that. Apart from that, it's been a real quiet week, honestly. That has been the highlight for me anyway.
Well, we're about to have a crazy heat wave, aren't we? So
yeah,
I'm not sure too much will be happening over the next week.
Nothing mad.
No.
It would be nice maybe to do a quick barbecue in the garden, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I need to get out there and do a bit of
maintenance
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was our quiz question last week then? I've forgotten.
The quiz question was about ice cream. It was which country is credited with inventing ice cream?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely have no idea. I mean, no idea.
No, not even a guess.
Belgium.
It's actually China.
China.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
You just wouldn't necessarily put those two together, would you?
No.
Like, I don't think of China as being known for their ice cream, but...
Well, no, actually.
Okay, this one. This week, how many brains does a leech have?
How weird. Yeah. And they're so small, too.
Yeah, horrible things.
Yeah, definitely.
I know they were useful for something once upon a time in medicine, but... Ugh.
Oh, they make you cringe.
Yeah.
Bloodsuckers. They
do. Okay, so...
Yes.
Comments from last week. We'll start with Marie's comments.
Yep.
Hearing Pam's comment made me think about the people that I remember from when I was really, really tiny. She reminds me of the Shell youth counsellor. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. C-H-A with a little accent on it, E-L.
I've never heard of that.
Shale?
I'm not sure. Must learn more.
Sorry.
Do tell.
I'm pronouncing that really badly. Youth counsellor I had when I was very small, and she worked with me and with a bunch of other friends up until I was probably about 10 or 11. I think after I finished primary school, that was when those services stopped. Her name was Betsy, and she was a lovely woman. I haven't seen her since my high school graduation party in 2010, and I miss her sorely. I know people who know her, so I still ask after her. I wrote her a letter, but I don't really know if I have the heart to send it. I just don't think that I can tell her enough in just one letter. I really want to see her again, but I don't know if it'll be possible. I definitely want her to be at my wedding, like Pam was at yours.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. You should send the letter. I think she would love to hear that. I think teachers or counsellors or anybody that has a direct link with children and young people, I think they absolutely love to hear how they get on when they're older.
That's it. And the thing is, you'd have regrets for the rest of your life if she passed away before you could send it. Mm. And, you know, time is fleeting. We all know this.
Definitely send it. Definitely send it.
It doesn't matter if you can't contain or fit everything in one letter. The important thing is actually
reached out to her. And also it's less of a step, isn't it, than arranging to meet somebody after that sort of length of time.
Yeah. Sending just re-establish communication.
Yeah. It's nice.
Communication is key.
And I feel like letters, it's so like old school, traditional, you know, not just a text or even an email, but like an actual letter. I think it's really sweet.
Yeah, do it.
Definitely do it.
That's plus two for that. You've got to do it now.
Yeah. And then you can come back and tell us. Marie also says, I find Windows in general to be a pain in the neck, no matter what version it is. Windows XP was great, but that didn't last long enough for us to truly appreciate it. Although, whenever I try to switch to Mac, I wind up getting scared and the poor thing ends up sitting abandoned and I wind up getting rid of it. I don't want to do that when I get my next Mac, though. I want to try and find a way to use both of them at the same time, but on different machines. I'll figure it out. That's incredible that you memorized the install code.
Yep.
I guess that just goes to show how horrible it was.
I sent it to Ed as a voice message, and he was confused as to what it was until I explained it to him. Just rattled it off. It's still in my skull. And he was like,
crazy.
What's
still
that?
Stayed there.
Oh, it did.
Wow.
Which is wrong. Yeah. There could be way better things stuck there than a 26-digit code, but hey.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
And from Marie, I was very lucky when I went to university. We had, at both of the universities that I attended, a very good disability department. But of course, that was after a lot of technological advancements had been made. I started my university career in 2010. I really regret not finishing my degree, and I'm hoping to maybe start up again soon. I am so grateful for all of the accessibility advancements that are in place now.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
I wish that there was so much when I was going.
Yeah.
I've been able to do more. I know that. I know it in my soul. You know, because things changed so much.
Mm.
Yeah. Like 2000 was an era, right? We didn't even have smartphone cameras.
Yeah.
So much has changed.
Yeah. Also, if I could have hired my own scribe for classes, I totally would have. I would have recruited one of my teacher's aides from when I was in grade school and high school. I would have felt a lot more comfortable because a lot of describes that they had for me when I went to university were students, and I don't think they really knew what they were there for.
A lot of them don't. And I had that when a maths exam. In the latter years of doing maths exams, I think James probably could tell us the same. I'd imagine they had the same. There were quite some visual problems, right? Because the exams weren't necessarily set by like the school. Mm. I think they were just like, you know, across the board so that they were from the same hymn sheet, you know?
Yeah.
And so even though they made accommodations for that, like we had tactile things like we talked about last time with the Minolta paper, there were just parts where you absolutely needed someone to draw a thing. And so to have a student come in and draw a thing based on your say-so and not be able to see what that thing was.
Yeah.
Means your mark is dependent on that person doing it the way you asked, or if you're right or wrong, I mean, you just won't know.
Because what if how you're describing it is not how they're interpreting your description?
Correct.
So it's very, like, biased, I guess.
Yes.
That's so hard.
I don't remember how it all played out now, but I do remember feeling that's a weird situation to be in. Why isn't it accessible? Even this is back in the early 2000s, late 90s.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was at a specialist school, so I would have thought that things would have been done differently. I'd forgotten about that to this comment.
Mm. Marie's last comment is, are Ed and Charlotte siblings or a couple?
Siblings.
Yeah.
And great ones.
They are.
Absolutely great ones. Ed actually listened. Ed of Ed
really?
And Charlotte. Yep.
Oh,
he
nice.
Messaged me and said he sat down and listened to the entire episode with his mum.
Oh, sweet.
Which I thought was very nice.
That is really sweet.
And he left me a message saying just, you know, thanks for the mention and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, they're both great. And we've met them a bunch of times. You have as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted, basically, as soon as I met you, I was like, listen, you need to meet Ed and Charlotte because they are two of the greatest people I know.
Yeah.
And they have to vet you too.
okay, so our next few comments are from James.
Yeah.
He said, yes, I was in the one next to you for the first year and then moved into a flat off campus for the first part of the second year. Then after Easter of that year, I moved into the lodge, far bigger room, far more housemates, but a nice property.
That's talking about RNC, by the way. So that's 2000 to 2002 when we were in the college together.
Yeah. And then the washing machines were located in both Norwood and in Gardner Hall. I believe we were encouraged to use the ones in Norwood. Sorry if I'm spelling that wrongly, but have never seen it written down. No, I think that seems...
That sounds about right. So for those, yes, my the blocks where we stayed, certainly mine, had washing machines downstairs, but it was while I was in the caravan I had to take it elsewhere because the caravan didn't have washing machines. But when I was living in Campbell, all I had to do was go down a floor or two floors and go to the laundry room there. So I didn't have to take it like cross campus.
Did they show you how to use those washing machines? Like, did they teach you? I know you knew how to use a washing machine, but sometimes, you know, washing machines are different.
They have
different.
I honestly don't remember. Which probably means no, but not necessarily. Like, there was they call them wardens, which is always a scary term. But yeah, there was a warden
prison
there.
Warden.
And maybe if you went and found them and said, look, this is a different than I'm used to how to use it, maybe they showed you.
Or maybe if somebody else was in there when you were taking your washing, they might have said, oh, just do this and this.
In Worcester, definitely we were taught. But I can't remember it being the case in on RNC now, actually.
Mm. then he said, that is also where the kitchens for learning cooking and living skills were located. But the process was more minimal and strangely fragmented in comparison to Worcester. I made some stuff occasionally just using the ovens in the houses, but didn't do much with that because our working hours were long in comparison to other courses. The food at the refectory was really awesome, though.
It was fantastic. Never had a complaint, really.
Yeah. We even got food at weekends there. I think a lot of that was deliberate in order to prepare people for uni, time and task management and so on.
Yeah, like we would have lectures, right, that started at 6 p.m. on some days.
Wow.
And because, you know, you were on campus or near campus, you were expected to attend. You weren't going home, like, all the way to wherever you live.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, you'd have, like, a normal college day. I was going to say school day. You know, like 9 to 3, whatever. You'd have a few hours break. Then you might have a 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. And that would be you done for the day, actually done for the day this time. So you had time to, like, have dinner. And after dinner, and back into lectures. Tell me if I'm wrong, James. It was 6 to 8, wasn't it? It might have been 7 to 9 or 7 to 8, but I'm sure it was 6 to 8.
And then he also says, and I'm guessing this is about the bit at the end. That's me playing the keyboard bass in the track at the end.
Yes,
goodness,
he did.
Completely forgot about that. And yes, Cara did work with Blur. She did some session playing with them, I believe.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
We were taught by some genuinely fantastic talent, like really big. It was very cool. They were a good 2 years, I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed them. And being able to basically play piano or work on a big mixing desk almost whenever, you know, if no one else had it booked out, was a lot of fun. They gave you a lot of trust because we're around very expensive equipment.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, actually, that one time I was in there with a guy called Gordon, and I was playing keys for him, not other way around. And I don't know what happened. He had the speakers up too high, and he blew the tweeter in the speakers. They're very expensive speakers. Like, both sides went.
Did he tell someone, or did he just run away and pretend?
I don't think anyone ever found it was him. And since it wasn't me, I didn't say anything.
No, of course
not. I just remember that we came in for lectures, because this was after hours. We came in the next day, and they couldn't work out why there was no top end. And yeah, they were very, very expensive speakers. I don't even know the price of them, but more than my face is worth. So, like, yeah, to run away. Thanks for the comments, both of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, as always. And this week's about you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's nice to focus on you for a change. So tell us a bit about what this is about and how it came to be and all that sort of thing and what you can remember.
Okay, so the Living with Lodgers is about lodgers that we had when I was a child. So when we moved into the like family house, so I think I was like 6 when we moved in there, 5 or 6. And we had at the top of the house, there's a really big bedroom with a little like separate toilet. Not a full bathroom, but a separate toilet. And it's like basically like an attic room, but it's properly kitted out. You know, it's a proper room and everything, and it's really big.
It is big.
And because we didn't have the need for that room, my parents signed up to sort of rent it out, I guess, although it was basically connected to a school. So you would have students coming from abroad who were here to learn English. And they would stay with host families. So a bit like foreign exchange, except they weren't exchanging anybody.
Oh, okay.
They just had, you know, we just had people come and stay. So it was all really safe. You know, it was through a company. Everyone was vetted. Like, it was, you know, safe. And it was my mum and dad's sort of job to provide room and board. So they would... you know, they'd have the nice room all kitted out with everything that they needed. And then they would provide meals for them, 3 meals a day. And then, yeah, the students would attend the local college that they would learn English. And I guess it was like more of an intense course because they would go every day and go on trips around London and stuff like that. And then I think they had their weekends that they could, you know, do what they wanted, and usually they made friends with each other, so they would sort of go off. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we had some really interesting characters come and stay with us.
That's why I thought about this episode.
We had, I think she might have been the first, she was Portuguese, called Adriana, and she was so nice, and she stayed with us for like a year.
Wow.
She was with us for a really long time. And they like, she just became part of the family because, you know, when you're living with somebody for that length of time,
really, and long time,
3 meals a day, you know, we all ate together. We all sat down. We had, you know, 2-course meal at like dinner and stuff. Or I think maybe they didn't provide lunch. Actually, maybe it was 2 meals a day because maybe lunch
if they were
was
out
at, yeah, at that's what I'm just stuff. Thinking. But it was definitely like breakfast. And because my dad was at home at that time, and my mum was the one that was full-time working, he would like cook all these lovely meals and like amazing puddings and all of that and provide everything for them. So she stayed with us for the year. She was lovely, and I think I used to like hang out with her sometimes. So I would have been like maybe 7.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think. So my dad was at home because my sister was born soon after. Sort of around that time, she was a baby and a toddler when we had the lodgers. So my mum worked, my dad stayed at home. So it was just like an extra, you know, sort of thing that they could do.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she was lovely and I used to hang out with her. And
how old was she though? I don't know if you can remember.
She was in her 20s.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't like young. I mean, she was. Like, obviously, that's really
but not
young.
Teenager.
But we had some that were teenagers. So in comparison, you know, she was like a proper adult. And actually, so she then left And then we had others. But at some point, I think it was like a couple of years later, she actually came back, but not as part of the learning, like with the college.
Mm-hmm.
She came back to London and she stayed not in the main room that we had, but in the little tiny, we had like a little box room.
Yeah.
And she stayed in there for, I don't know, maybe like a couple of months or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like my parents didn't ask anything. Like she cleaned, she did some cleaning and stuff to sort of like help out around the house. But that was, you know, she was literally just sort of staying for a short while. So we had her. She was lovely. And
did you ever find her on Facebook?
No, because I don't know like any of their surnames or any of that information. Like it was so long ago. We don't have any of that kind of stuff to be able to look them up. We then had a really, really sweet lady called Chikako from Japan.
Cool.
And she was so, so lovely. She wasn't great with the language skills, bless her. She tried really hard, but it just didn't come that naturally.
Yeah.
But she stayed for a really long time as well. And again, just completely, she used to play Barbies with me and like all these things. She was just so sweet.
So after Adriana?
Yeah, I don't know the exact kind of order of who came next, but I think they were both quite early on.
Well, she would have been around when your sister was born then, so she would have been, you know.
Yeah, so Chikako was, and yes. My sister had, they didn't realise until much later on, like, I think when she was sort of two or three, but at the beginning she had something called glue ear, so her ears were really blocked and it was really hard for her to sort of hear, so she kind of had her own language, and she used to call Chikako Duckle. We have no idea why, it's just the word that in her head she had for Duckle, so that was just what she always called her, which was really cute.
That is funny.
But yeah, she was even with us for Christmas one year, Chikako, because obviously going back to Japan is, you know, a big thing.
Not round the corner, is it?
No. So she was even like celebrated Christmas, which was, and she was just like really emotional about spending it with us. Oh, she was just really sweet. And she, when she went back home, she used to send us like every couple of months for a while. Like I think we got like three or four of these boxes and it was a whole big box full of like really cool little treats and things like that from Japan. So all the like little sweets and little biscuits.
They have some really nice things in Japan.
Yeah, like loads of Hello Kitty things that obviously I loved. But yeah, just tons of stuff like that. Like she just would pack out a box. It was so, so sweet.
That's amazing.
We didn't really have many. I don't think there were ever any men. There was a teenage boy.
Yeah.
Who just kind of came and went and did what he wanted. Like,
I should imagine they're quite slovenly at that
age. I think he was maybe like 17 or 18.
Yep.
Something typical. Like that. But I don't think he stayed that long.
Mm.
I think he was there for no more than a month, if that.
Yep.
And I really don't have any memories of him. I think he was German.
Ah.
I think. But I really don't have any. I don't think he was particularly involved. I think he just literally used it as like a bed
and breakfast.
And that was it. And I think he wasn't really attending his school. So that's why I think he didn't stay that long.
Oh, yeah. You'll get kicked out for that.
Yeah. We had this. My dad calls her the Spanish princess. So she was really young. Or no, she was in her either late teens or very, very early 20s. But she was this Spanish girl and she came to stay and she was really sweet. Although, again, I don't really have many memories of her except for she must have come really early because her parents turned up on the doorstep at Halloween and my mum was pregnant. So
okay,
it must have been, really early on between the other two. But my mum was like, so my mum had my sister a week later. So you can imagine like she's fully pregnant, really big. And it was Halloween. So my mum's got like cat ears and a tail on. I'm running around in like a bin bag and as a witch costume, because that's what you did in the 90s.
Yeah.
With like a witch's hat and big fake gnarly nails on my hand. And we're like running around doing Halloween stuff, waiting for trick-or-treaters. And her parents turn up. And another woman, I think, who was with them, maybe an aunt or something, wearing these humongous real fur coats. Wow. And like just completely draped in jewelry, like diamonds and all.
Hence
like
the Spanish.
hence why my dad calls her the Spanish princess. I don't think she was a princess or anything, but that's just what my dad called her. And just sort of flounced in. They were very sweet and everything, but like them with all these, I just have these memories of these humongous white and brown fur coats.
I don't know why, I'm just reminded of the Motherland episode of Halloween. It's nothing to do with it, but it's just, no, that was a funny episode.
That is a funny episode. And they brought some gifts. They brought like this amazing, really expensive, posh looking baby grow because they knew my mum was pregnant.
Oh.
And yeah, they wanted my parents to like monitor everything. Like she was on a very strict diet, I think. And they wanted my mum and dad to like monitor that and know where she was going. And
guys, this is pre find my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. And like give her a curfew. And my mum and dad were like, no, 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 that's not what we do. That's not what this is about. You know, they weren't there to parent.
Nope.
These,
that's
like
more
young
like
people.
Babysitting at that point.
Yeah, that's not what they were there to do. But yeah, and then there was probably the only one that I remember being negative.
Yeah.
Ish.
There was one.
Another Japanese girl, and she just didn't really get out of bed, and she had some kind of condition, I think, where she used to wet the bed quite often.
You don't do that and then stay in it.
Well, yeah, I think she had like brought with her special mats to put down or something, but she then didn't change the bed. So she would just let it dry and just stay. And I remember there just being like, she would be drinking Coke, cans of Coke all night. And you think, well, that's probably not helping, but you know.
And the stench.
Hey ho. But yeah, and then she just kind of, because she wasn't doing anything, she was meant to stay with us for a year and left after a month.
Well, good.
Because...
get the room back.
Yeah, she just wasn't really doing anything at all. And they're the main ones. I don't remember there being anybody else because we did have people for significant periods of time.
Yeah.
And everybody that stayed was always so happy. And they always used to enjoy the fact that because I was... you know, 7, 8, maybe up to 9, I think.
Yeah. You would have been, given how long people stayed.
Yeah. And they used to just really enjoy the fact that they could just talk to a child.
And practice their English.
Exactly. Practice their English because it's not so intimidating.
And formal and adult.
Exactly. So you're just sort of having, you know, and if they said something that didn't make sense or whatever, like, I'm a child, so it's fine, you know, and we just used to play and hang out.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Very different.
It was really, really nice. And like, I have this memory of Adriana when she stayed and they were learning a song in their class. And it was, what is the song called? It's that like, you can see clearly now the rain has gone.
Yeah, I can see clearly now the rain has gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And up in the bedroom, it's not there anymore because we ripped it out, but up in the bedroom that they stayed in, the attic room, there was like this really big built-in desk under the window. And I just have this memory of sitting up on the desk and we were looking out on the window and you have like quite a good view out there because there's no really tall buildings. And it was really rainy and grey and we were singing this song together because she was learning it in English. And we were singing the song together. It's just really cute. I just really remember that.
Yeah, it's a good song too. It's an old song.
Yeah. And I guess it's, you know, songs are quite a good way of learning a language.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, I think that's kind of all the memories that I have, really.
See, I didn't remember that they stayed for long periods of time apart from the ones that didn't. So I was thinking they were cycling in every few months. You wouldn't really get to know them.
No,
but it
I
was
think
different.
Because my parents were really good at what they did. Like, yeah. They're very, very hospitable and welcoming.
I can attest to this after 18 years. Yep.
Yeah.
I keep going back every year.
And, you know, people just really liked and really enjoyed staying. So they did. They yeah. stayed for long periods of time. And
oh, actually, we did miss one thing about our week, didn't we? We went over to your parents.
Oh, we had our Eurovision party.
Yeah, more like a hang, because we don't talk about Eurovision anymore.
No, we go because it's nice to have like a...
It was a jerk chicken hangout.
Year get together.
And your mum did an amazing jerk chicken.
She did amazing jerk chicken.
For the boys.
Yeah, my sister tried it and it nearly killed her.
Yes, I joked that she was very white.
Well, she is.
She is.
But she does like spicy food.
Yep. And her and I always have wine together. It's our thing.
And then you had the limoncello.
Limoncello, yeah. And your mum also did great ribs.
She did her ribs.
Oh, yep. Love them. So it was a bit of a meat fest, really. It was good fun.
And then you went and passed out in the chair.
I passed out properly. It's a nice hang going over there. I've got this big chair that is my chair when I'm over there. And I sit in it and I read a book and I listen to the room and I sleep.
You do.
And it's great.
But I always think that's a sign that you're comfortable when you can fall asleep somewhere.
Yeah, it is. Definitely that. It's good. It's great. And then they gave us more chicken and ribs to take home. Thanks.
Yeah. And Alice made some amazing cupcakes.
Oh my gosh.
For it, didn't she?
She did three types. She did chocolate and vanilla and lemon cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the lemon was my favourite.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't even get to try the chocolate, but it was all right.
I think they went really
They went
quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. But yeah, the lemon was mine. So yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's your parents' hospitality at work, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I go there, I always look forward to it.
They've always been like that. Always been the kind of looking after people.
Definitely.
Providing, you know, even when... I think I've mentioned in early episodes, maybe, that they used to run pubs together.
Yes.
And they would do food. And, you know, it's all that kind of welcoming people in and,
yeah, they're good
you know,
at that.
Yeah, that is definitely what they do. What they do best.
Yeah, normally it's like twice a year we go over there, usually Christmas and Easter.
But we're trying to do it a bit more because I think it's...
Yeah.
It's nice.
We added a third.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have cheese this time.
You didn't, but I did.
I was too full.
Cheese was good.
Yeah. Mm. We were thinking about getting a cheese board, weren't we? Like a sample one to try. We should do that. Because we both love cheese.
We do.
I think Alice is all right about cheese. Jake didn't really
She likes some cheese, not strong cheeses. Jake's not a big cheese fan.
No. More for us. It's fine.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think that's all I have for you.
I've never lived with lodgers. Well, I say never. When we lived in temporary accommodation, me and Mum, because our house was had burst pipes under the floor and the housing people were sorting it out. It took ages. They put us up in temporary accommodation. And the room I was in was big enough to have two single beds side by side, like with a table in between. So it's quite a big room, actually. And it coincided quite nicely with my cousin Michael coming over from Barbados, and he was, I think, studying here for a year, maybe two. I've forgotten now. But he was in Reading University a lot of the time. But when he wasn't and he stayed with us, we shared a room and we would go out and do things together as well. He's quite a few years older than me, because I was still a teenager then. He was in his 20s. I'm pretty sure
that
20s.
Must have been really cool for you to, like,
it was
hang
super
out
cool,
with
yeah.
the older cousin, you know.
It was great fun. We had a lot of fun together, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
And when I went back to Barbados in 2015, I went and spent a day with him and his wife then, which was nice.
Aww.
Yeah, he's always been good to me. Good guy. So, yeah, I suppose that's the kind of only lodger I can really remember as such. But not that wasn't even in my own house. It was in temporary.
And also he was family. So
his family,
yeah,
it's different.
You know, you have that connection.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So is it story time?
It is story time.
All right, then.
So do you remember, however many episodes ago it was, we talked about the robot that was...
Scaring the woman.
Scaring the lady, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
So this is about a very similar looking robot, if not the same prototype, but is actually in Poland.
Right, okay.
And they, I don't know how you want to refer to the robot. It feels mean referring to it as it. So the robot is chasing wild boars from the neighborhood to keep them safe. So in Poland, that is what they're using, these humanoid robots
How intriguing. Four.
So they are, it actually says in the article, a humanoid robot chasing wild boars out of the neighborhood might sound like something from a science fiction movie.
It does.
But yeah, there's actually videos which we will link. And it says that the robot is wearing a backpack, resembling a futuristic park ranger, guiding the animals as they trot ahead and disappear.
So, like a robot sheepdog.
Yeah. So, I guess because they can be quite destructive and dangerous.
Yeah.
Really dangerous to people. You know, they can take you down.
They can gore you and everything, yeah.
Yeah, they can. And, yeah, so they're using these humanoid robots to kind of, you know,
shepherd
send
them
off and keep them out of harm's way as well as for people.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
At least this one isn't like scaring old woman to death.
No, but you have to check out the video because even the sound, I think, is probably
yeah, we'll quite definitely amusing, do that.
But
link that.
Yeah.
Curious now.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That is intriguing. I wonder what else they'll be used for in times, you know, times to come.
Mm.
You know,
well,
imagine
there
like
are other
scarer,
countries
scarecrow.
That have problems with wild animals. Like I know in Australia, I read an article the other day about wild, I think they're cockatoos.
Ah, yeah.
I think it was them. And they just destroy people's cars. They rip off all the rubber. So like the rubber strips that go along the top and back
yeah,
down
and
the back
tires.
And stuff and down around the windows and things. And they just sit on top of these cars that are just parked on the street. And they just rip it all out.
Yikes.
So maybe having some of these robots dotted around to scare off the cockatoos might be good.
Yes. And I was thinking like solar-powered scarecrows that actually could move from their spot.
Mm,
and
yeah,
chase
that's
chickens,
a good
birds,
idea.
Foxes.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
With AI inside. So that's why they're solar-powered. They don't need to be plugged in or charged up.
Yeah, yeah.
They just do the thing and off they go.
In the middle of a field. And
yeah. This could be fun.
There you go. It's a use for them.
Yeah. Well, there we go. It's a shorter one by quite a significant
it is,
amount.
I'm afraid. I don't have as many cool stories as you do.
I didn't know I could talk so much about school life, but it actually was more interesting than I expected.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like, I suppose when it's such a significant period of your life, it kind of, you know, sticks out and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But yes, thanks for being with us this week, Living with Lodgers. If you have any lodger stories or any interesting stories about people in your house, hopefully people that you wanted and expected to be there, not randoms off the street, do tell us more because, you know, it's interesting when you think about people's lives and what they've been through. And often you can forget that things like that did happen. Like until this conversation, I'd forgotten about Michael living with us for a while as he did.
Yeah.
Partly because most of the time I was away at boarding school, so he had the room to himself. So I was only there for like holidays anyway, because I was at Worcester.
Mm.
So I'd go to school, I'd come back, I'd see him for the holiday, I'd go back to school, I'd come back and see him again. I don't think he ever came up to Worcester, although he might have once. But yeah, it was so fleeting. But the time I did have with him was really enjoyable, so
yeah,
kind of what I remember.
That's what's important.
Yeah. Well, there we are for another week. We hope you enjoyed this one, and we hope to see you back here, same time, same place, same bat channel. But until then,
bye.